Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you're not standing, please stand with us. We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to revisit a scripture that we started on last week, and we're kind of picking up in the middle of a message, and I'll review some things. And so, picking up at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3 through verse 21. Not that I've already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me. I press toward the mark or toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. For many walk whom I have told you often, and now let you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 together, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just kind of continue on with the thought we started last week. And Lord, we'll review some of it. But Lord, today there's something new and fresh and anointed you want to speak into our lives. Because Lord, there's some things you want to get really resolved in us as we move forward in our relationship with you. Lord, there's some things we need to put in our past. There's things we need to seize for as we go forth, as we go ahead. And we ask the Holy Spirit to be the director of this cause. We thank you for all these things and we praise you for these things. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. God has gifted us with three types of sight. Did you know that? You say, what are you talking about? Well, hindsight, insight, and foresight. Hindsight is, most of us operate from hindsight because we look at back the things behind us and we say, oh, yeah, that wasn't so good. But however, some of us relapse and go back for whatever reason. Insight is hopefully we'll gain something from the experiences that we've had that we'll say, we can look and say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Been down that road, been there, done that, saw the movie, bought the t-shirt, ain't no good, okay? But foresight is something that we don't really get around to because we kind of get trapped in these other two and we don't really get a chance to address some things that God has in store for us. And it's interestingly enough, the vast majority of us will find ourselves stuck reliving things that have long ago transpired. And however, the enemy will use them to keep us from moving forward into what God has intended for us to accomplish. He's good at it. Because about the time you're ready to step out, I said, not so sure. Remember what happened the last time. Then it goes a little bit further. Life is to be lived forward, but we get caught in the vortex of living it backwards. The past is not circumstantial, but rather providential. And the fact is, we have a tendency to remember the things that we should forget and forget the things we should remember. Isn't that true? Ever try to call, their name is such and such. You really want to get their name, and other things you don't really need to know, they're right. You can recall stupid stuff, you know. I'm not going to poison your minds with some things I remember from grade school, but I'll tell you what, I need to forget that a long time ago. Let me get to it. I'm not even asking questions. There's some things, I'll make some statements. First of all, did you realize that for believers, every past experience is preparation for some future opportunity? There's nothing that's happened in your life that God can't turn it around for good that'll make your life better. If the Bible's right, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. How many love Jesus today? It doesn't matter what somebody intended it for, God's gonna turn it around for your good. The devil meant it for evil, and Joseph says, even after his brothers threw him in a pit, thought he was gone and long gone, they found out one day that they threw him in a pit. They thought they would get rid of him, but he was necessary for their future to move on. People may have put you in a pit a long time ago, but you are vital for their future survival today. Somebody say amen. I want to take the grief process away from you right now to the fact that you're just kind of bemoaning stuff. You ought to be saying, thanking God for what you've gone through. Because you know what? You're still here. Amen. You're still here. Well, I may not get far today, but I'll tell you what, I'm feeling good. Okay. Number two, some of the worst circumstances that you have experienced will work towards the evolution of your character being rebuilt to reflect Jesus in you. The evolution of your character. I'll tell you what, I'm a work in progress. How about you? I may be 70, but honey, as long as I'm staying here, God's going to be working on me. But your evolution of your character to be the person that Jesus wants you to be. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this: God's working on me. He's not finished with me yet. All right, come on. Here we go. Number three, Jesus starts with the end in mind, who he's calling you to be, and works backwards. See, he sees you in your perfected state, and you're saying, oh, how am I ever going? But he's working backwards. He's already purposed who he wants you to be, and you need to rise to the occasion and submit to him so you can be all he's intended for you to be. You've got an enemy that's trying to roadblock you here and side block you there and make you bitter over here, and you can't let go of this and you can't let go of that, and you'll never be who God wants you to be. He's working on all those things that you thought that were going to destroy you, but God's going to work on you. Well, we must be willing to lose in order to gain Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Not that I've already attained it, but already perfected, to press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended. May I ask you, where are you in your walk right now? Some of you don't even know. I'm just going to try to make it in Jesus' name. I'm trying to make it. No. We're going to purpose some stuff today. This random, I'll make it maybe by gosh, by golly, no. God's got some specifics in mind for you. So pressing on and moving forward will require us to focus our attention on Christ. So that means we must exchange our value system for that which has eternal significance. Now, how eternal-minded are you? Now, I don't mean the pie-in-the-sky people that are just kind of sweet by and by, we're all going to meet there one day, because you got to live on this earth. But I'm telling you, are you making things count for the kingdom's sake? Yes. That's a tremendous opportunity. Furthermore, it says this, we're trusting in Jesus will require us to focus to be on the things that will keep us moving ahead. Now, some of us are emotionally, and others are physically, but we're stuck. Now, what does that mean? Our emotions can change in a moment. You can go all the way from feeling good to, oh, I just know what came over me. And the enemy, unfortunately, will use our emotions against us. But I'm here to tell you there's some good news, that suffering loss to gain Christ is a matter of willingness to watch our ships burn. Some of you don't know this story. I'll tell you real quickly. It was Cortez, 15th century. He's going out to conquer Mexico. And the story is he pulls his ships into the harbor, and he's ready to conquer this particular place. And he gives an order to the sailors. He says, I want you to go out there, burn those ships. Burn them. You say, what? That means that either we're going to do what we're going to do here, or we're going to die. Nobody's getting back on the ship. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. Now, some of you burned some ships last week. The rest of you, I got a torch for you. Some of you missed it last week. Don't matter. There's still some burning to be done. Because it's one of those things when we kind of look at, well, I can always go back to this, or always go back to that. I remember when New Song started. This is almost 40 years ago, 39 years ago. And we started with nothing, literally. And so I had a plan for Jesus. Yes, I did. I worked in corporate environment. I said, I could go back. I said, well, Jesus, you know, my wife's, you know, she's 6 months pregnant, and she works for the government, and she got a good job, and I don't got no job. And so I can go back to corporate, and I can go back there, and I can, you know, like subsidize my income until this, you know, we kind of get a little money to take care of the new baby that's coming and all. I had a great explanation for God of why I'm doing it. And we can come up with some ideas how we're going to help God out. And it's logical. And you know what God did? I didn't know it then, but he told me, burn that ship. I could have signed on the dotted line. They would ship me off to Pocatello, Idaho. Lord have mercy, Jesus. To do management training. Then I'd be fit to be working in International Harvest Area, their corporate environment. And God says, do not get involved with that. I got this. I'm here to tell you as a testimony that from that day until this, I have been full-time pastor of New Song Church and have never looked back, not missed a paycheck in that period of time. Not one time. Only by God's grace. You say, well, how'd you do that? I didn't do anything except obey God. Because remember, when New Song started, we had 30 people and half of them were unemployed. We didn't have a building. We had nothing but Jesus. So I'm not telling you about burning ships that I haven't heard. I know what it's like to have a barbecue, okay? But I don't regret anything at that particular point. And pardon that personal reference, but I want to tell you that those things, that suffering the loss to gain Christ is a matter of willingness to watch those ships burn. I gave you the first five last week. I'm going to give them real quickly again for those who didn't hear. First of all, you have to be willing to watch your ship burn. Don't get a fire extinguisher. Don't call the fire department. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Number two was lose relationships that we thought we could not live without. I have to revisit that one. Some of the reasons why you are messed up right now is you're still in that relationship you thought you could not live without, and your life's been messed up ever since. It let it go. Burn it up. Get them out of your speed dial. Get them off of your email list. Stop it. I'll move on to three because otherwise I'll get stuck there. Help me, Jesus. Confront the things that we never should have allowed in our lives in the first place. Stop justifying your sin. Well, you know, God worked it all out for good. No, honey, you never should have got involved. Why don't you say it? Never should have gone there. Never should have taken that opportunity. Never should have got involved in that job. Never should have bought that car I couldn't afford. Oh, now I'm getting personal. But we do crazy stuff. And then we'll say, well, you know, Jesus, you know, if he didn't want me to, he would have made it so I didn't get there in time. Huh? Y'all got a brain? Well, anyway, moving on. Dying to self in order to be alive to Christ really speaks for itself. Breaking the chains of doubt, fear, and unbelief. I was talking to someone this last week, and they're still marinating on that one. We'll pick up there and we'll get to the next five. But would you help me with this one to break the chains of doubt, fear, and unbelief? Doubt started in the garden. Hath God said, you shall not surely die. And you know what happens? You believe the devil. And that's the reason why you're where you are today. You doubted what God said he really meant. Because what he said, he says, the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And because he didn't drop dead on the spot, he said, you're still alive. No, you weren't. Well, you may be alive in the flesh, but the spiritual part of you has been dead a long time. God wants to revive you out of the ashes of where your decadence of your behavior has gotten you to the place where you'll be once again alive in Christ. So the doubt, the fear, obviously, and unbelief are something to deal with. Let me move on to number six. Meeting the conditions of the Spirit in order to fulfill your destiny. God has got a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. But there's conditions. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then. Everybody say if. Everybody say then. The if thing is the part we get stuck with. Because we want to pass to the then. But there's a process that God is taking all of us through. If you're called by his name, you ought to have some semblances in your life that you're called by the name of Jesus. You know, Christians, you say, well, we want to put our little template on there and we want to put our screen. Well, all Christians look like what? Jesus. They don't look like, they look like they're a fulfillment of keeping his word. Called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Here's a piece of it we're going to talk about a little bit later on. This idea of prayer, what does prayer mean? Throw your requests on the altar and bring them before the Lord, and he'll just kind of sort them out and give you whatever you want. Are you kidding me? God is not a genie or one of them fellows you rub his tummy and you get whatever you want. Well, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. We're going to see some turning and some shifting today from the wickedness that we've got ourselves into. Well, so we're meeting the conditions of the Spirit in order to fulfill our destiny. Number seven says, gaining victory over your deepest regrets. I have to stop here for a while because the devil is a master at bringing things up. When you're about to forge ahead in the Spirit of God, he'll bring things up that you regret. And that's the key. Regret is the key to depression. I'm going to say it again. Regret is the key to depression. And so you're doing a great time. Then all of a sudden, the screen begins to play all the things that you allowed in your life. And then condemnation comes along with it. And then all of a sudden you regret things you said, things you did, even things that are in your life now that you can't remove. Before we leave this building, we're going to burn that chip. That's a heavy duty one that some people say, well, I'll never get rid of this regret, because you persecute yourself over and over and over again, and the devil brings it up over and over and over again. But I want to tell you today, you're going to be set free to be who God has intended for you to be today. Number eight, finding your godly uniqueness, becoming the person Jesus has intended for you to be. Every person in here is unique. I didn't say strange, I said unique. There's a difference between being strange. Now, the strange part you can deal with, okay? Because some of you just, no, that just is not cute. And some people delight in being strange. And people do it to attract attention, do just strange things. But I want to talk about uniqueness. Uniqueness, the Bible says we are skillfully and wonderfully made. That God has put gifts and talents and abilities in you, and he didn't have to duplicate you again. And there's things that you can do that no one else on this planet could ever do. Surrender yourself to God and let him find fulfillment, or you find fulfillment in his plan for your life. Well, number 9, being conformed to Jesus' death, becoming alive in Christ. Now, what does that mean? That's kind of a thing. It's like being conformed to Jesus. What did Jesus' death look like? Being accused, being lied on, being taken advantage of, this type of thing, and not retaliating with one word. The only way you can do that is if you are assured of and you know who your true identity is in. When you find yourself constantly on the defensive, well, I am not, and this type of thing, and you know, and you get on your Facebook and you're gonna let everybody know who you are, Lord help you. What if they miss the posting? Then what? Being conformed to his death. And here's the key point about Jesus' death. The very key point, the apex of his death, was on the cross when he said these words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." The key to you being conformed to his death is your willingness to forgive people who have offended you, who have done things against you, that you cannot fix it. Come on. The key to you entering to your destiny is forgiveness. What they said was hurtful to you. What they did against you was absolutely, totally wrong. What they took from you, what they stole from you is absolutely the truth. But you know what you need to do? You need to burn the ship of bitterness and forgive them. And you watch and see. Will God restore all the things the cankerworm has taken away from you? Will God give you even more than you could even expect? But as long as you hold on to your rights, good luck. Ain't gonna happen. Well, one more. Laying hold of Christ in the same way that he's laid a hold of you. Do you know how Christ has laid hold of you? This is how he does it. It's laying hold of is kind of an interesting word. When you lay hold of something, it's a possession, but it's a possession in this way. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." God has laid hold of you with a promise that you'll never be alone. Wow. Let's build a little bit more on this and we'll see what God does. Well, the only way to predict the future is to create it in Christ. And verses 13 through 15 of Philippians chapter 3 goes with something else. Here we go. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward toward those things that are ahead. First of all, I press to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are," what's that word there? "Mature." What does mature mean? I'll tell you what, mature doesn't mean old. Because I've met some stupid old people. All you got is something, that the odometer turned over, but you didn't. So don't count on that. But as our maturity happens when you're able to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the process that God is taking you through, and you're saying, "God, I submit to that." So that means we must put our past into perspective and move on, which means we must have a plan of action to move forward. Now, I won't have a showing of hands here because I don't want anybody to be too rapidly exposed. But some of us are headed down the highway and we have no idea where we're going. That's good. You have no direction, but I'm driving. I'm on the highway for Jesus. Where are you going? I don't know, but I'm driving. You're crazy. But I'm seeing all the scenery along the way, but you're not going to fulfill your purpose unless you're going where God wants you to go. Unless he's giving you, and he will give you, if you spend time in the spirit of asking him, he will direct every step of your life. I dare you to get up in the morning and pray, God, guide my steps. You will find yourself in places you never thought you were going to go, but you'll be fulfilling God's will for your life. We have to be intentional about the things we do for God. This idea of just kind of, well, I'm just kind of a random person. I got a word for you. Get over it. And be intentional. We must begin our journey putting things in their proper perspective. We must not look, we must not look for people to blame. What kind of driver are you? I'm when you get behind the wheel. Passive. Oh, that's okay. Go ahead, cut in front of me. That's perfectly fine. I ain't no hurry. Go ahead, baby. Come on. You waving everybody in front of you. One more than one car get in front of you, you are ready to blast that horn and rip off their fender. Because it's my turn. Oh, I'm getting through to some people right now. The Holy Spirit is convicting you as you sit right here. Because that second car, when they came through, there was grace for one, but there's not grace for two.
Come on, Pastor. Come on,
work with me, folks. I'm trying to get you saved today. Don't you know by the Holy Spirit says, just hold on, I'll take care of this. But all of a sudden, something happens to you. When you don't get what you think you deserve. I have an illustration of that. I'll do it another time because I'm a little out of time here. But I'll tell you what, it will stay in your mind for the rest of your life. So you look forward to that. I'll keep my promise on that. But we cannot reach for what is in front of us until we are, if we are holding on to our past, which means this. We must seek the Lord about our future. And I need to take you a scripture I didn't give them, but it's a great scripture. It's in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. It's talking about tomorrow. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go and do such and such a thing in a city, spend the time there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life, but it's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. But look at this. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and all them old folks used to say this, well, we'll see you next week if the Lord wills. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? I know you're old, but you're not that old. You'll be here next week, right? We have the sin of presumption over certain things that we believe that we have control over, but it's kind of a two-way street, and I'll tell you how it works. It's the idea that we must be sensitive enough to not be presumptuous over our future, but always leave it in God's hands. When we take it out of God's hands, then that puts us in control, and anything can happen, because you know when it's in our particular control, we will make some poor decisions. So we need the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, whatever we're going to do. And so he's just giving you a warning. He says, don't be too presumptuous about them. Set a plan, but realize that God's will can be performed through your life, but be willing to be sensitive to what he's doing. So this means this is that we must set deadlines in the Spirit, by the Spirit. This is one when I was studying for this message, and I can think of a lot of things that I have plans to do, but I have no plan to get there. I know you're not that way, because your garage is perfect. I drive in my garage, and there's some things I'm gonna do it. Yes, I am. Yeah, I am. Oh, yes, in Jesus' name. But until I make a plan to do it, it's not going to get done. Can I do it? Yes. Will I do it? That's the option right there. Well, yeah, but you know, and I can think of all kind of reasons not to do it. Now, I've already put myself on the block. I got to do it today. Lord Jesus, help me. But because of the point of it is, But you know, we'll put up with the suffering and the pain and the haunting of seeing it every single day instead of dealing with it. Ooh. We've learned to live with the pain of things that can be taken care of. And God is saying to us that we can't live our life like that. Because unfortunately, it spills over to spiritual things that we kind of just, well, you know, Jesus is loving. He knows me. He knows that I'm one of those type of people. I'm one of his special children. Yeah. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. This is one that'll help us all. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." We'll swallow that one. What was he hinting toward? He's not only hinting toward people that are double-minded, but he's hinting toward people who are not focused on what God's focus is. We must press forward with an urgency. The other thing is, we were not designed to cope, but to thrive rather than survive. Survival mode is that particular thing that we'll survive this until something else comes along that's better. So we're just kind of in that kind of just kind of cruising along. Well, we'll see what happens with the election. Good luck with that. You say, well, God knows. Yes, he does. But somehow there's an unsettledness where we say, well, you know, it may not be what we think it is. What do you think it is? I'm going to mess with you today. What do you think God's trying to teach us something? What's he going to try to teach us? Folks, it's messed up. But your focus has got to be on what God has told you to do. We have deflected it off on the government, on the election, and all different kinds of things. I want to ask you a question. What has God told you to do? Secondly, are you doing it? We must be ready and willing to change. The greatest change agent is the Holy Spirit. He will tell you the truth and lead you into places where you can find it. And the people who surround yourselves with will either reinforce the things of the Spirit or hinder them in your life. Who's your sidekick? Okay, Lone Ranger, who's Tonto? Kimosabi, I see plans. Not good goal. Not going town today. Not good idea. Someone take you out, Kimosabi. Not go there. You know what you're relying on right now? Your silver bullet. That's not what God has in mind. Here we go. There's another thing that we need to unwrap here. We must move away from the comfort of being stuck in what we have created to be our ungodly reality. Boy, there's a lot of loaded things in that. Here's one for you. Deadlines always have consequences. We're going to marinate on this one for a while, and I think it'll help the other people that you were wondering about, okay? The Bible says this: the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. I want you to take that very carefully, because I think there are times in all of us, myself included, that I've heard the voice of God, and I didn't say it in these words, but my actions follow through these words: I'm not going to do it. Is that hardness of heart? Well, no, I just didn't feel it. I'll do it later, but right now I'm just not feeling it. Really? Then we throw out, God loves me in spite of me, right? You know what that is? Stupid. Because the day you hear his voice, because there's some consequences to that. Deadlines have consequences. What you feel passionate about today may never return to your conscious mind. That passion you feel today to help someone or to do something for God or to witness to that particular person, if you think, well, I just don't have time to do it today, or I just need to study up more on the scriptures, and then I'll say to, do you know something? You may never feel that way again, ever, ever. Whose fault is that? Is it God's fault?
No.
We have to burn the ship of delay. We must burn the ship of procrastination. Oh, we say, well, procrastination is the thief of time. No, it is. Procrastination will get you in big trouble. There's things that if you had taken care of it when you should have, you never would be suffering like you are right now. Oh, somebody goes, oh, why did you say that, Pastor? Because it's the truth. If you took care of this last week, a month ago, a year ago, you would not be feeling or going through what you're going through right now. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Because it's the truth. Oh my, I felt that up here, y'all. Another thing the Bible says, we're talking about how deadlines have consequences. The Holy Spirit will not always strive with man. The Bible says, Jesus says, my spirit will not always strive with man. God says, there's a grace side of me, but I have limits. My mama was the nicest lady until she reached critical mass. And when she was at her discipline stage, she'd take off her shoes, she'd grab her cane, whatever she had, and she'd work you over. She didn't have to catch you. All she had to do is see you. And she was in the line of sight. It could be a shoe, could be a cane. If she had a brick, it might be a brick. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Mama was like that? Oh, yeah. Mama didn't have to outrun you. We must press on toward the prize. Deadlines without consequences are not really deadlines. Ever said, well, yeah, we'll get this done by today. Well, you know, I changed my mind. And, you know, well, maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. Oh, it really doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Because if you think I'm coming here tomorrow to hear this again, I'm done. And then you wonder, well, I don't know why people are just so finicky about this. Oh, what's a day in someone's life? Really? Here it comes for yours. Brace yourself. What deadlines have you set for yourself and not kept? And what have been the consequences? Notice how quiet it is in here? Well, there's more. You must be willing to lose some of the things that you might want in order to be free to do the right thing. One more. If you want the desired outcome, you must be willing to sacrifice what you believe is the dearest thing to you. Sure, we know about Abraham offering Isaac. We know about the opportunity that was there before him. And the Lord says, you know, sacrifice the one you really, really, really want. And so the drama unfolds. Was it for the benefit of Abraham, Isaac? What was the deal here? But God says it. He says, now I know. He said, well, God didn't know before then? No, he says, really, Abraham, now you know what's really in your heart. The only person who can expose what's really in your heart is God. You think you know? You don't know. Well, last but not least, we must meet the conditions of the Holy Spirit to fulfill our destiny. Philippians 3:17. That's verse 13, I believe. Verse 17, you have verse 17 for me? I think we got it. If you don't, I can find it. But still 13. Don't worry. We're good. Here we go. Join me in following the example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Wow. Listen to this. God has empowered us to be a pattern for other people. Somebody's watching you. Oh, don't look at me. Look at you. No. Someone's watching you. And God has designed it so. And he's working in your life that you may be living epistles known and read of men that you can reflect the very opportunity of knowing Christ. Jesus is building a church of believers that are willing to follow his example, which means this. Jesus wants us to be godly pattern for others to follow. Now, here's one. We must be willing to share the gospel daily and look for opportunities to use words. What does that mean? Who you are speaks louder than what you say. You can talk like, oh, I know Jesus. Oh, I'm filled with the Spirit and this type of thing. Then why are you so mean? Why are you so evil? You know, why are you always talking about the boss behind his back? And why are you doing this other type of thing? And you know, why are you always late for work? And why are you stealing pencils? I mean, you know. Help us, Lord. Spilled with the Spirit and got your pockets filled with the pencils. Come on. Somebody got saved right then. I know they did. What you do is what will determine many people coming to know Jesus. Well, we must be aware of how we walk and focus on the person who promotes the kingdom, things of the kingdom. Our true identity is buried underneath the mistakes we have made, the insecurities we have acquired, and the lies the devil has told us about ourselves that we have believed. I got to read that one again. You may have it behind you, but it goes like this. Our true identity is buried beneath the mistakes we have made. I'm the first one. I have made some huge, horrendous mistakes in my life. Many of them irreversible in some people's minds. But I know that I'm free in Christ. I've been forgiven as much as is possible within me. I've made right every wrong that I know about. And if I need to talk to you, send me an email. We'll get it together, okay? But the insecurities we have acquired, and insecurities that we've acquired many times where you heard this over and over and over again, you'll never amount to anything, you're too this, you're too that, this type of thing, all of a sudden you start believing that. Instead of what God says, God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he's got a plan for your life. Who are you going to believe? Third one is very much this one. The lies the devil has told you about ourselves that we believed. Your failure, never be any good. You're a loser. If we're going to be who Jesus wants us to be, we must confront the disappointments that have caused you or caused us to hold on to past failures and mistakes. Disappointments means that you thought it was going to go this way and it went that way. And some people have a difficulty letting go of that. I got to move on to the next one. Jesus wants to empower you with his grace to believe that you are valuable in the kingdom of God. And third thing is, we must boldly declare our freedom from those who seek to destroy our witness and are enemies of the cross. The reason why he put that in there is that some of you have been trash talked. I'm just using words they use nowadays, trash talk. Some people just got on your case and said all kind of horrible things about you. And the sad thing about it is other people believe them. But you know what he calls them here? They're enemies of the cross. Because of who Jesus is in your life, someone's trying to defame you to keep for the effect of what Jesus has done in your life to have an impact on the world. But he's got a word for them. He says, those, end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Yeah. Well, there's power in what God's going to do. Because we must declare our freedom from those who doubt the power of Jesus. Doubt is the enemy's effort to downgrade our belief in Jesus to match up with our life experiences. Let me read that again. Doubt is the enemy's effort to downgrade our belief in Jesus to match up with our life experiences. How about that one? If you had some tough things in your life, they said, well, that just must be what God wants to have in my life. I'm just going to bear my cross. Really? Be careful to latch onto something that don't belong to you, okay? Doubt is your perceived reality without taking into consideration the miraculous power of God to overcome any circumstances. That's what doubt is. Your perceived reality. Not taking into account the power, the miraculous power of God to overcome any circumstance. I need to hasten real quickly. How about this one? Regrets are the sum total of the word that we receive from the Lord and reject or refuse to act upon. Marinate on that one for a moment. There's something that God said to you today you'll regret if you do not act upon it. You'll regret it. You won't be able to change because there's a window of opportunity and it won't have any effect on you. You will not feel the same way when you leave this building as you do right now. You will not. Let me tell you a little bit about how we can intellectually retain information. There were several men, or actually a whole team of fellows that were a summa cum laude at Harvard University. And they took their final exams. And every single one of them took their final exam and they aced it. They all got straight A's on their particular exam. 1 month later, they took the exact exam and failed it. Wow. Let me tell you what that means. Your short-term memory only retains information for a very short period of time. And the short-term memory retained that information to pass the test. But a month later, it's no longer something you want in your mind, so you let go of it. That's the reason why the Bible says for us to meditate on the Word of God, to digest the Word of God, to let it wash over us, that it will become a part of our life, that we'll become victorious to be all God says we are. I said that for a reason. I dare you to read the scripture we read today, I dare you to read it once a day for the next 7 days. I promise you at the end of 7 days, you'll believe it. It'll become a part of your nature. And it'll also reinforce the fact that it says, you know, that scripture the pastor gave us about burning ships, I wonder where that was. If you read it for 7 days in a row, you know exactly where it is. And when the devil comes with his lie, with all of his junk, you'll say, wait a minute. You know, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm pressing forward toward those things that are ahead. You know, and I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, because that is who I have put my trust in. I'm here to empower you with some stuff. Well, those regrets that we have, we can get to them real quickly. The Holy Spirit will confront the things in us that have kept us from obedience to the truth. We must be aware of the deception that is among us with thoughts and practices to go against the teaching of Jesus. And deception can only find root in the heart of those looking for things to satisfy the flesh rather than the things of the Spirit. Wow. Last scripture, Remember Lot's wife. Pastor Paul and the team, you can come on up here. We're about ready to go here. Luke 17, verse 32-33. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. Some of us get stuck in the idea, and maybe some of you don't know the story of Lot's wife. I'll pull up the scripture real quickly about her. Because Lot's wife is the epitome of a woman who refused to burn the ship. She's on her way out through divine providence. She's escaping Sodom and Gomorrah. God has given her this ticket into freedom. And she refuses to burn the ship. This is what happens, real quickly. So Lot's wife's heart was still in Sodom. It was still there. So verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 16. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand. This is Ms. Lot. And their hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set them outside the city. So she is in the safety zone. God brought them out. Listen, like many of you, God has brought you out. You've seen their sins and this type of thing. You've made repentance and this type of thing. But it just goes sideways. And so the issue is here. So she comes out of the city and came to escape. And he says, and they came out and escaped for your life. Do not, verse 17 says, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed. Do not look behind you. It's burning. The ship is burning behind you. Don't look back at the ship. Look at where God is taking you. Here's the problem. Ever been on the freeway and everything slows down? Everybody's looking at some of over had a problem on there. Traffic is backed up for miles because people are rubbernecking. Just like, ooh, I wonder who got killed over there. That is a mess. Don't have nothing to do with you. You can pray for them, but you keep on going. Some of you don't get it. You will. And so in verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't think anybody knew that was going to happen. And then in the New Testament, it says, remember Lot's wife. The issue was, her heart was still in Sodom. I'm going to pray right now for people who will be willing and bold enough to say, you know, Pastor, there's some things I need to deal with today. You say, well, if I admit my heart's in Sodom, that's meaning I'm not saved. No, it's not. You're already saved if you keep your eyes going the right way. But when you turn back, you're saying, well, you know, what I'm leaving is better than what I'm getting. So, well, that couldn't be possible. Yes, it is. Because there's an affinity sometimes we get toward things, and we'll tell ourselves it wasn't that bad. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.